good food we have back there. It's a wonder we can do that. But we appreciate everybody being here tonight. Good to see you. Good to see everybody feeling well. And I know that some are sick. That's just a part of the life. We have to deal with that. Lynn and I are both glad to be here. We really do miss Tanner and the people here. Great place to live. You're very fortunate to be able to be a part of the community and a part of the church here. Great for that. Robert said say something about Estonia. I got to make a little mission trip over into the European area near Russia. Estonia is a small little country, not very big. It's been overrun several times. When the German soldiers came through, they took over the country, treated the people very bad. Then the Russians took over, and it hadn't been but a few years since Russia was really hard on that country. They carried it about 40,000 people to, not quite 40,000, to Siberia. They punished people. I got to go through a museum that they had of the jail up there. They had two kind of rooms. One was hot, one was cold. They kept it hot on purpose. They kept it cold on purpose. If a person was laying down sleeping, they'd throw water on them in the cold rooms. Some of the places you saw where those people had to stay, it's just unreal. But a lot of that has gone on in the world. It could happen again. The people there are concerned about Russia coming over and taking over Estonia again. They're a very well-to-do people. They are very smart people. They came up with Skype for our computers. They pay their parking where they park on their phone. They were the first country, I think, to have their national election over their cell phones. And they voted over their cell phones for the people. They kind of laugh at us because we're so afraid of security with our computers. They don't worry about it. They do everything on their computers. The town we went to was Tartu. It's a great little town. It has a college there that was started in the early 1700s, before this country was even started. It was there. They have about 20,000 students there from really all over the world. The people are very, very smart. Most of your younger people, now your older people are going to either speak Russian or Estonian. Most of the younger people, they will either speak Russian or Estonian, and then usually English. The younger people do that. Now the older people, they're not into that yet and may not get into that. A lot of us old people don't like learning things, and learning languages is sometimes a very difficult thing. But they're great people. They really need a lot of help. We have a couple that has been over there for a year. Working with them. They're fixing to come home in July, and we really need to send two couples over there to work in that area for a period of time to help those people to be able to develop. I don't believe in sending missionaries over there all the time. Train the people there and let them handle their own country. They can do that. They have the intelligence to do that. They're very smart. A lot of them do not believe in God. They are very affluent. One lady said, why should we believe in God? Everything's going good. Sounds strange to us, but that's just the way they live. And you know, that's not much different than the way we live, is it? when we have a lot, we depend on ourselves. When we have little, we learn to depend upon God. But pray that we can find some younger couples to go over and work there and learn the Estonian language. There is not a translation of the Bible in the Estonian language. There's not that many of them. It's like a million people or something like that, a little over a million people. So it's not worth people doing that, and especially when nobody really wants it. But it's a great place. Enjoyed going. I did find out some very important things. You don't leave your passport in that little bucket thing where you put your change. People do not like that. And it takes hours to find it after that. I walked around, I left mine in there, had to go back and get it, missed a plane, had to get more tickets. It was a hassle, but everything went fine. It was great. Went with a good fellow that knew how to travel well, and he helped me out a great deal to be able to function. But pray for that area. They really need some help. They could, and they are worried about maybe Putin coming in and taking over their country again. He had done it before, or Russia had done it before. He may do it again. And so they've got this hanging over their head. So pray for them if you would. Grandfather was keeping his granddaughter, and his wife had to go somewhere. She said, can you take care of this girl for a little while? He said, no big deal, I can handle it. So the wife left him there. She got back and said, okay, everything go fine? Oh, yes, it went great. Well, what did y'all do? We had a tea party. I drunk 4 cold teas. She said, what do you mean 4 cold teas? I said, well, we had this tea party, and she had water in these cups. And I just drank it because that's what I'm supposed to do. She said, you drank it? He said, yes. She said, do you realize how tall she is? He said, yeah. He said, do you realize the only place she can get water is out of the toilet? So you got to be careful when you're keeping kids. You got to watch that. You never know. Some of you have probably drunk that and didn't know it. And some of you knew it, but you ain't telling anybody about it. I appreciate the topic that you have, how we feel about people, and how what we're trying to do as far as understanding things about Christianity, whatever Christians should know. And I'm sure every person is going to have a great topic on that. I appreciate getting to speak first. Then you can say, he's already said that. It's good. I want us to look at this thing about, you know, when you first become a Christian, you people are very good about telling you what to do to become a child of God. And that's great. It's wonderful to do that. We're not as good about helping people after they become a Christian to learn how to develop. And that's what we need to do. Because we need to learn how to teach people what to do after they're a child of God. Sometimes, even in the church, we talk about faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. And after that, you're on your own. Well, that's not as it should be. There should be something to train and teach people how to live their life. The word Christian did not fare real well in the first century because it was a name that was given in derision of people. They were those people that were like Christ, and they didn't really care that much about Christ. And it was a name of derision, but it became a name of honor. It became a name where people were so glad to be a child of God. And so they were willing to help other people about it. These people that were Christians were very unique people because they had a very unique relationship with Jesus Christ. Someone that was dead. Someone that was no longer with them. But someone that influenced their lives in every way. They were people who understood that they had to change. They had to be a different people. They were those that were now professing to be Christians. They had to live like that. We have to understand that today in the church. We've got to be people that we recognize how wonderful it is to be a child of God. Paul in Philippians 1 and verse 1, talking to their very sweet little letter. You need to read it sometimes. But in verse 1 there, he said that they were those bond servants. Now, that's different than just that's a slave. That's somebody that has been bought and purchased. And there's a difference between just a person who is working for somebody and a person that has been bought by somebody. You see, if you're working with somebody and they do something you don't like, you can just quit. Walk off. Well, if they paid for you and you are their slave, you don't walk. You stay there no matter what they do. If they beat you, if they mistreat you, you still stay there because they own you. Paul uses this term many times. He wants people to understand, I am owned, I am bought, I am purchased by Jesus Christ. He owns me. He owns everything about me, and I'm going to be one that's going to always do that. In saying this, Paul's making really 3 claims. The first claim that he makes is that he is an absolute possession of Jesus Christ. Now, he's saying, I am one that I belong to Jesus Christ. He's paid for me. Let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, Jesus Christ has paid for you. You belong to Him. You're not your own. You walk by His steps. You walk by the way He wants you to walk. That's what we're supposed to do as children of God. So he said, by saying this, I am a possession of Jesus Christ. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, he said that Christ has loved him and he's bought him with a price. And the price was the Son of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. And he recognized what it was. Look at what took to pay for you. And we've got to realize we belong to him. Secondly, he claimed that he was one who was owned by Jesus Christ and he had to swear absolute obedience to him. See, we live in America where we make choices. And if we don't like it, we can say something about it. It's different in a lot of other places. It was different for those people. They understood it better than we do. Something in the Bible that we don't like, we just kind of ignore it and let it go. What they did is they had to change and become like that. And that's the reason they were called Christians, because they were living like Jesus Christ would live. And thirdly, he claimed that he had no will any longer, that he was willing to do what God wanted him to do. Brethren, that's what we've got to realize. That's the thing I want you to know more than anything else. We have maybe too much Americanism in us, and we need Christianity in us. That we are people who follow what Jesus Christ says, no matter what it is. I've got to be willing to change my life. I've got to be willing to give up some things. And let me tell you something. It's not easy to live the Christian life, is it? If you really live it. Now, maybe our problem in this country today is that we forget about how important it is to be a child of God, to be that person that's called a Christian and all. Sometimes Christianity today is defined not necessarily by what you do, but by what religious group you're a part of. It's defined by who your family is. I've had people that say, hadn't been to church in 10 years, my daddy was an elder. My daddy was a preacher. Great. Does no good at all. Are you faithful to Jesus Christ? Are you following him? That's the important thing. That's the thing we've got to be concerned about. You know, I've done this before. I'm sure Robert has, and other preachers, Richard and others that have spoke. They said, you know, suppose you died today, would you be in heaven? And a lot of people say, yeah, I'm a believer. I believe in God. Yeah, I believe in God. But what we've got to do is to understand what James was talking about in James 2 and verse 19, where James said there, you believe that there is a God? You're doing great. That's good. But remember, the demons believe, and they believe so much that they're trembling. But are they going to be saved? No. Why? They don't believe. Let me tell you something. It's not a matter if you believe in God. It is, are you following God's way? Now, please understand that. There's a distinction there, and we need to know that. A lot of people say, oh, I believe in God. That's great. But are you following His way? Are you doing what He wants you to do? Are you doing what you want to do? And when it comes to something you don't want to do, you just kind of ignore that and go and forget about it. What we've got to do is to realize He wants us to follow His way. Everything. And that's not an easy thing to do because, boy, my will is strong. I want to do what I want to do. Hard-headed? I'm glad Linda can't say amen to that. But we want to do our... What we've got to do is to realize we belong to Jesus Christ. James said, listen, you can believe in God all you want to, but if you don't follow Him, it's not going to do any good. So it's not a matter of do we believe in God, and understand what I'm saying by that. It is a matter, are we following God's way? Not just do we believe in Him, but do we believe in Him enough that we're willing to do whatever's necessary to be a part of Him? We have strong and a very great ability to follow the will of God, and we can do that. There is nothing that God requires you to do that you cannot do. People say, I can't. Yes, you can. Price is high, and you have to do it, but you need to be willing to do that. We have to understand, and what we're going to talk about tonight, it's not a step program like you do these steps here. You go step one, step two, step three, and then you step forward, and you've got it, you know. Kind of like Danny was studying for computers, and what you do is you take a test, and you pass that test, and then you take another test, you pass that test, and then you take another test, and then after that, you get a diploma from that. You know, you go to college, and you get your diploma, and you've got that, and it's yours. That's not Christianity. Christianity is an everyday thing. It is a way of life, and you see, we have maybe tailored it to where it's a Sunday-type thing. Where on Sunday we do the religious stuff. But what about Monday? Well, that's my day. I gave the Lord His day. I gave Him His 3 hours or 4 hours Sunday, and so the rest of it's mine. No, You're a child of God every day. Where's the church at? Y'all tell me. Where's the church? It's us. It's not this building. It's us. We're the ones. We're the church. And you see, God tried to emphasize. Now, we talk about that, but I don't think we've got it in our head yet. That we are the church. I'm a child of God wherever I go. And I've got to act like that. I've got to talk to people about God. I've got to let people know. We wonder, I was talking about, I'm going to preach at a congregation in a couple of weeks. He said, well, on Sunday morning we have 17 for Bible study and maybe 25 for the worship. And there's, most of us are older. What do? Well, what we do is start talking to people like we do about everything else. If it's a good sale, are you ladies going to tell other people about it? Maybe after you go, but you're going to tell other people about it. You're going to let other people know about it. If there's something good, you're going to talk about it. You're going to let people know about that. Let me tell you something. We've got the greatest thing in the world. We've got the thing that'll save the souls of people. We've got the thing that'll change the world that we're living in. We talk about how bad this world is and this is going on, that's going on. Let me tell you something. It could all be stopped if we help everybody to understand what a child of God really, really is. People are looking for Christians. They're looking for Christians. They're not looking for preachers to preach. They're looking for Christians to teach God's Word and to live God's Word in front of them. That's what this whole thing's about. And what I want you to do is to see how important it is. And I'm going to mention a few things here, but it's certainly not the end of all this that we need to have. So we're talking about a daily way of life. Every Christian should know how to communicate with God, how to talk with God. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. Asking for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up. Always pray for all God's people. We need to communicate with God. We need to speak with God. We need to pray. And I'm not just talking about meals, but I got to tell y'all this. We were eating somewhere, and I saw these guys over there, and I thought, man, I got to say something to them. They're all praying. They were all over there with their heads down. And so I went by, and I came back, and they were still there. And I thought, man, that's a long prayer. And then I happened to look, and they all were looking at their cell phones. Well, shot my idea there. I could have said, y'all doing a good job on your cell phones, boys. We need to pray for meals. We need to pray. We need to teach our kids to pray. They need to see us pray. They need to know we're praying. We need to pray for our families. The thing I love about Job is Job prayed for his children. And he offered sacrifices for his children because he wanted them to be a part of heaven. How wonderful that is and how great that is that people can do that. You know, you need to learn to communicate. I've got a granddaughter that's 5. She knows how to communicate way too well, I'm telling you. Linda was out there a few weeks ago, and there was a leak in the bathroom under the commode. And so Linda and Melanie put a cup up under it. I don't know why kids don't deal with stuff, but they put a cup up under it. And Melanie said she'd go in every so often and empty the cup. Said one day Ashton came out and said, and she's so dramatic about things. She came out and said, is anybody in this house emptying this cup besides me? She said, call somebody and get it fixed. Sir, 5 years old, scares me what this girl can come up with. But she, she'll tell you what she thinks. And sometimes she tells you real loud what she thinks. She's going to be a teacher one of these days. I feel sorry for her students. Woo. I told her teacher at school, I said, do you teach like she does? She said, no, I don't. No, I don't do that. I said, I'm thankful for that. They'd get you for child abuse if you did that. She teaches me. She's got to where she won't teach me. She said, I don't act right. I don't know where she gets that from. Beats me. But we've got to learn this idea of communicating with God. And we got to learn to speak to God and talk to God and talk to Him like a friend. Sometimes we're so keyed up on these and thous and all this stuff that we think God's somewhere up there. Let me tell you something. God is your friend. And you need to talk to Him like that. Now, I'm not saying be irreverent or anything like that, but open up your heart to God. And if you want something, ask for it. Isn't that what Paul said in Ephesians? He said, if you want it, ask for it. Our problem is we think we got to only ask for the big things. No, you ask for everything because everything you have comes from God. Everything you have comes from God. Somebody said, why do I have to ask God? He knows what I need. Can I just go on and do what I need to do? Well, He knows you need it. But He knows you need to learn to ask for it. Because that helps you to understand where the blessings come from. That helps you to understand what God has for you and what He wants to give to you. So be able to communicate. Be able to talk to God and help Him to understand some things. You see, we've got a God that loves us. John 3 and verse 16 is a passage we all know. But have you looked at verse 17, what it has to say? Listen to this, verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him, through Christ. God doesn't want to condemn anybody. The preacher that stands up and says God is thrilled to condemn people is a liar. That's strong stuff, isn't it? He doesn't want to condemn anybody. He wants to save people. That's His business to save people. That's what His Son came to do, is to save people. That's what we're supposed to do, is to save people. We're supposed to quit judging people, quit talking about, well, this one is good and that one is not and this is that. Cut out all that stuff. But help people know that God loves them, and you be the person that you're going to communicate that to them. You're going to let them know about that. And you do that in several ways. You do that because by the way that you live, by the way you talk to people, by the way you help people, by the way you can look and see people that are hurting. Can you walk into a room and see people that are hurting? Can you do that and just see people that their heart is just breaking? Now, I can't do it all the time, but sometimes I can. And sometimes I go up and ask them, you know, hey, you got a problem? Now, people say, don't do that. Yeah, do that. And let them know about that. Talked to a little girl this morning, so good ham and biscuit. I'm telling you, it was good. I even got gravy. Okay. Diabetic, I got gravy. It was good for me. I said, how's your day? She said, I'm so tired and I feel so bad. I said, you don't have a right to do that. She looked at me like, what? I said, you're too young and you're making money. What do you got to fuss about? Some people don't even have a job. Enjoy it. I said, but she said, I didn't get to bed until 1 o'clock. I said, that's your fault. Nobody else's. Don't blame other people for it. Yeah, I did. She was smiling when I left. She might have been smiling because I left. I don't know. But, just something that we can say to people that will help their life to be a little bit better. We need to communicate that. We need to let them know, hey, you need to come down here to Tanner Church. We got a preacher. He's not that smart. He's not that intelligent. But his wife is nice. I thought I'd just add that in, you know. Thank you. No, let them know, hey, this is good. This is good. Sometimes people don't come because we don't ask. You got to communicate. We got to communicate with God. We got to communicate with each other. We got to communicate with the world. If we don't do that, we've lost it all. And we wonder, why didn't anybody come? Maybe they hadn't been asked. So ask people. We've got to be willing to do that. Every Christian should know how to love as God loves. Now, let me tell you something. We talk about love, but I don't know if we fully understand how God loves. Romans says that God loved us when we were sinners, when we were condemned, when we were lost. He loved us. Do you love people that are not living right? We're going to have a gay parade Sunday. No, Saturday. Isn't it Saturday? I think it's Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. I'll go in there and I'll do this. No. Hey, learn to love those people. They got a mama that's hurting too, and a daddy probably that is. Help to love those people. Show love for them. I didn't say your lifestyle's okay. The way you're living is all right. I don't mind telling them, I love you, but I disagree with your life. Sometimes if we disagree with our lifestyle, we're supposed to hate them. No, don't put that stuff on me. I won't take it. I'll tell you, I love those people. I love the people that drink. I love the people that are in adultery. I love the people that are stealing. I love all those people. Now, I'm not going to ask a guy that's stealing to hold my billfold for me, okay? That's foolish. But I am going to let him know that I care for him and that God will forgive him. God will forgive you of any sin you've ever committed. I don't care what it is. He'll forgive you. Somebody said, oh, now what about that unpardonable sin? Oh, get off that. If you turn away from God, God's not going to chase you. He's there with his arms open, just like that father was for the prodigal son. He's there ready to receive him. Somebody said, why didn't that father go get that boy? That boy had some lessons to learn. And then he came back. And he needs to come back. This father here, we need to be willing to do that. C.S. Lewis defined love as this. He said, love is unselfishly choosing for another's highest good. And that's what it is. You see, in the world, it's I'm over you. In the church, it's that I'm under you. I'm doing things to help you. Are you going to get abused? Yes. Are people going to take advantage of you? Yes. But what difference does it make? Dump the ego. Help people. Let people know that you love them, that God loves them. We need to learn to love like God. We need to learn to love like God, because God doesn't look and say, you know, you're not really right, so I can't touch you. He's really saying, come on over here. I'll hold you. I'll hug you. I'll forgive you. I'll love you. I don't care what you've done. God receives sinners. Heard that in a song somewhere. He receives sinners. He receives them in and he forgives them and he helps them. We know what sacrifice is. You as a parent, you know what sacrifice is for your children. What would you give for your children? Heard of a fellow the other day. He just retired and his daughter wanted to go to a very prestigious college. He went and got a job again so that he could afford for her to go to the school she wanted to. Was that a sacrifice? Yes. We sacrifice for our children. We do that. Husbands sacrifice for their wives. Wives for the husband. And even children for their parents, they sacrifice for them. We need to learn that. We need to learn that. Listen to what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Love is patient. It is kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag. It is not proud. Love is not rude. It is not selfish. Love does not count up wrongs that have been done. Love takes no pleasure in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love patiently accepts all things. It always trusts, always hopes, and always endures. Anybody want to raise their hand and say they've got that one down? Okay, am I the only one that's done that? And if you believe that, you're in trouble. We don't do all of those because we're growing. We're growing and learning how to do that. Are you better than you were last year? Are you going to be better this next year? And we're going to learn to do these things and learn for that to be a part of us. So we're going to try to have that. That thing of God's sacrifice, John 3 and verse 16, He gave His Son for us because of His love for us. He gave His Son so that we could have. That's what kind of love God had. How many people were really being obedient to God at that time? I don't think many. But look what He did. He sent His Son anyhow. He sent His Son so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Every Christian should know how to forgive as God forgives. Anybody ever hurt you? Anybody ever done something to you that was so wrong and it's still raw with you, okay? It may have been years ago. I've seen people that they had hurts that they had 30 or 40 years ago. And they're still on their mind. They're still on their heart. They're still troubling them. They're still bothering them. Listen, everybody makes mistakes. Anybody in here not ever made a mistake? Done something wrong? Listen to this one. Just done something stupid. Okay? Okay. I don't want you to raise your hand, okay? Because some of you might lie. I don't want to do that. We have to realize and we have to understand that we've got to learn to forgive. We got to learn to forgive other people. You say, no, wait a minute. They have got to come to me. They have got to ask me. They have got to beg me to forgive them. Oh, forget that. Forgive them, no matter what. Jesus on the cross said, Father, what did he say there? Father, something about, what did he say, Robert? Or they don't know what to, well then wait a minute, were they already repenting of that? No. Let me tell you something, you don't wait for them to repent, you forgive them. Now somebody said, well does that mean that they're all right with God? No, they got to get themselves straightened out with God. But let me tell you something, I'm not going to carry that hate with me. I'm not going to do that. And from time to time, you start thinking about how they've treated you, how what they've done to you, and you just, you know, that blood starts going again. Forget that. Warn the wicked man of his wicked way. Let them know what it is. Go sit down and talk to them. If they will not repent, that's okay. That's up with them and God. That's all you can do. You can't force people to repent. You can't do that. And that's what they're supposed to do. What you're supposed to do is to forgive. I think of this, when I think of this and God's love, I think of a mother that's got a son that is rebellious, he's rotten, he's not worth the lead it'd take to shoot him. And I know that's weird terms and y'all are saying, why did he say that? I want you to think about this thing of forgiveness. This thing of forgiveness is one of the hardest things I think to do. Now, there may be others, but this is hard to forgive others for what they've done to you. Because some of them, they hurt. And they hurt big time. But we need to learn to forgive others. God was willing to send His Son to die for people that were rebellious against Him. He's willing to offer His forgiveness for people. And He's not looking to condemn. He's looking to save. He's looking to help us. I think of a little mother who's got a child that is just rebellious and going against them and doing everything, stealing money from them, doing all that. And that happens in this world. But if you ask that little old bent lady what she thinks about him, she said, oh, I love him. Why? Look what he's done for you. Why don't you just dump the old boy? No, I love him. That's the kind of love God has. Even though we're not worth it, God still loves us so that He can forgive us. Isn't that wonderful to know? Isn't it wonderful to know that you can be forgiven of every sin you have committed? And then you can go out and you do it. You're fighting against it, but you go out and you do it again. He'll still forgive you. He'll still forgive you. The only way people are going to miss heaven is because they don't want to comply with the will of God. They don't want to receive what God has there for them. Jesus is willing to say that He cares for us. Matthew 6 and verse 14 and 15. Yes, if you forgive others their trespasses. What's the rest of that passage? Your heavenly Father will forgive yours. And then the other side of the coin. But if you won't forgive them, basically you're not going to be forgiven. Brethren, we don't want to read that one. Because we've got hurts. And we don't want to call on that. We don't want to do that. Let me tell you something. Learn to forgive other people. You got to do that. God wants to forgive you. You need to learn how to forgive others. And you've got to be willing to do that. And don't ever forget about that. Every Christian should know and should follow the will of God. You're not going to know the will of God just by listening to preachers. It won't work. Sermons are kind of a hit and miss to a certain extent. But what you've got to do is study the Word of God. You've got to find out what it has to say. That's not an easy thing to do. Most people don't like to study. But let me tell you something. You're studying something that can help you to know God greater. And I'm persuaded if we knew God in a greater way, there'd be no way we'd ever sin again. Because we'd know how bad it hurts Him and hurts all of heaven. To count the blood of the covenant as garbage and just to walk on it. That wouldn't work. It's not going to work. Listen to 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. We can be sure that we know God if we obey His commands. Anyone who says, I know God, but does not obey God's commands, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. But if someone obeys God's teaching, then in that person, God has truly reached the goal. Did you hear that? That's the goal. He's reached that for us. This is how we can be sure that we are living in God. Whosoever says that he lives in God must live as Jesus lived. How do you know how Jesus lived? By studying how he lived. And we've got the book that says it. We've got the Word of God that teaches us that and how important that is. As Christians, we need to be listening, following the Word of God. We need to be studying it. I don't know how many times I've said that, and I know it's kind of blowing in the wind to a great extent, but we need to study the Bible. You need to figure out a way to do it. There's so many helps. There's so many helps that we have in our society to help us to be able to do that. A daily devotional Bible, something. You find something where you can say, just start reading a book. A book of the Bible, and read it, and read it, and study it. That's the thing we've got to be willing to do. God desires for us to live a life, not just to show to us, but to show to Him the kind of effect He's had on us. And the way you live your life shows how God has affected it. It shows how God has changed you. The Christian life is not just a thing that gives ourselves credit, because all the glory goes to Him. He purchased us. He's given us everything we need. He's helped us in every way that He can. So when I do something, all I can do is say, thank you, God, for allowing me to be a part of that, for allowing me to be able to do that. Thank you, God, for that. Our Christian life will be easier, happier, and with more joy if we'll study His Word more. We're looking for a worship service that we come in, and old Robert, he's up there, and man, he's hot as a pistol, and he's doing great. Song service is great. Everybody feels good, and we're all happy. And boy, we're looking for something like that all the time. Let me tell you something. If you're looking for that, you're going to be failing a whole lot of time. You ever preached a bad sermon, Robert? We're going to have one response tonight, I can tell y'all that. He's joking. Yeah, they know. They've heard. I shouldn't have said that. But you see, some of these sermons, they just don't work. But the Word of God does. And that's the important thing. That's the thing we got to think about. So listen to the sermons, and they'll help you. But study this Word of God and find out what it has to say. Thank you so much.